The reading from John's Gospel, chapter 16. So, over to you, Lucy.
We're actually going to go a couple of sentences before that in 15, but it should be on the same page of your Bible. So we're going to start at 15, verse 26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All of this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think that they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this, so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When the time comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that you will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Good evening. Thank you, Lucy. One of the things I really love doing is going walking in the mountains. I don't know, there's something just pretty breathtaking about it for me. I'm sure it is for many of you as well. The slight problem for me, though, is that I'm pretty rubbish with directions. I genuinely am. And I've thought about what my issue is with directions. But I think it's almost as though I think I don't need anything to guide me, you know, like a map. I'll just be able to figure it out. I sort of know where I'm going, so I'm sure the way will be pretty obvious. I'll just work it out. The problem is that method basically never works. And the last time we went at Penivan as a family, we got to the top okay, but somehow in the sort of rainy fog that we had at the top, we managed to walk 15 minutes. Bear in mind, we wanted to go back down the way we came. We managed to walk 15 minutes off the top in the wrong direction. And my wife, Jen, loves a circular route, so she thought, great, he's plotted a different way back to the car. It was only when it dawned on her that I had done nothing of the sort that she asked me to look at the map in my pocket. Suffice to say, no one was best pleased when I confirmed that what we needed to do was go to the top of the mountain again to get back on the right path, particularly as Jen was carrying our youngest daughter at the time. I asked Jen in the week, I said, can you just sum up my map reading skills? And she said kindly that they were utterly hopeless. So that's kind of where I am. But, well, just for a few minutes as we close, I wanted to think about this line from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And the passage in John's Gospel that was read to us, we hear of Jesus's disciples, and he's telling them, Jesus is telling his disciples about the journey that he's about to go on. And he's also telling them what's up the road for them too. And we hear the disciples starting to grieve. And I suspect they were feeling pretty lost. What are we meant to do when Jesus goes away? How are we meant to know where to go? And then Jesus says these astonishing words, aren't they? It is for your good that I go away, in verse 7. And Jesus says it's for their good because Jesus going away will allow him to send the advocate, the helper, the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I thought, just as we close, we could look very briefly at just some of the things that we can be thankful for when we think about the Holy Spirit. So firstly, we believe in the Holy Spirit, who opens our eyes to show us the way. Jesus says to his disciples at the beginning of the passage that they're going to be threatened. They might even be killed. And this will be because those who oppose the disciples, well, he says in verse 3, they've not known the Father or me. And the reality is that that's all of us at one point in time, isn't it? Well, maybe we're not threatening God's people, but not knowing the ultimate destination of our lives. No idea how to get there by ourselves. And despite how much we think we can just work it out, that we'll just play it by ear through life, we are, without the gospel, aimless, hopeless. We're spiritually blind. We're stumbling around. We're walking the wrong way off the mountain. But Jesus says in verse 8, when the advocate, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, about righteousness and judgment. And right at the beginning of the passage we heard that the Spirit would testify about Jesus. It's through the Holy Spirit that our eyes are opened. We're convinced and convicted of our sin, of our need for forgiveness through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we're enabled to turn around and start walking in the right direction. The Holy Spirit shines a torchlight on our world and on our own hearts too, so that we can see our need for forgiveness. We can see our sin and we can call out to Jesus. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to show us the way. But secondly, we believe in the Holy Spirit who shows us the beauty and the majesty of Jesus. In verse 13, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you." Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will speak only what he hears from Jesus. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, and he'll glorify Jesus by making known to the disciples what he hears from Jesus. And I think that promise is for us too. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ to us. He points us to Jesus. He doesn't point us to himself. He points us to Jesus. A bit like the guide on a walk who finds someone stumbling around, lost. But after they found them, said, don't look at me. Look at where we're going and look at how incredible it is. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus and says, look at him, his power, his grace and his mercy, his kindness, his compassion, his gentleness. Listen to his words. That Jesus would become magnified in our life, that he would become massive to us, that we would know what it is to sit at his feet and have the joy of beholding our Saviour, that we would know, just in a small part, what it is to see Jesus face to face, because we will. Jesus is who the Holy Spirit points us to. So we believe in the Holy Spirit who opens our eyes to show us the way, who glorifies and shows us the beauty and the majesty of the way, Jesus. And lastly, we believe the Holy Spirit who sustains us in the love of the Trinity until we get home. We can see all over these verses, can't we? Just the fingerprints of the Trinity. Even if we just pick out the first verse that we heard. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. As we think about the Holy Spirit, we cannot view him in isolation from God the Father and God the Son, existing together in perfect love. This relationship before all time, before the foundation of the world. Jesus gives his disciples this window into this amazing, perfect relationship. And he wants to know that the Holy Spirit will come to them, will be with them, will live in them. And they too will be joined together by the Holy Spirit to the Father and the Son. Jesus tells them at the beginning of chapter 16, I've told you this so that you will not fall away. Jesus knew that the way for them is going to be really hard, and there's going to be lots that might want to throw them off course. But he tells them in verse 10 that the Holy Spirit would speak Jesus' words to the world with regards to righteousness now he's gone away. And then in verse 13, as we just heard, the Spirit of Truth would guide the disciples into all truth. The Holy Spirit sustained the disciples in all that they would face after Jesus left. And the same is true for us. The Spirit now living in us, if we're followers of Jesus. He's sustaining us. He's guiding us. He's constantly reminding us of where we're going. We can be assured that we will be with the Lord. That through the Holy Spirit, our lives now are hidden in Christ. That our relationship with the Father is restored now. And that we participate in this amazing love of the Trinity now. And even though our way is hard sometimes, maybe often, the road feels like it's going uphill. The weather is awful. But the ground underneath our feet is the ground of the perfect love of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And as we sang this morning, we are called to feast forever on a love beyond our time. Glorious Father, Son, and Spirit, now with man, are intertwined. So we're just going to spend the last few minutes praying just before we go home. So as we do, let's give praise for the Holy Spirit who's opened our eyes to the wonder of the gospel. Let's marvel at the majesty and the beauty of the Lord Jesus, who the Holy Spirit helps us to love more and more. And let's remember that the Spirit dwells in our hearts now, is here with us as a church now. Each one of us who follows Jesus has the Holy Spirit. He's building us together as the people of God. Let's pray that we would long to live out and declare this perfect love of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in everything we do.